She had a senior moment. I guess when you get 80 years old, you can have those legitimately. Praise God. Hope you enjoyed her singing this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians, the third chapter. Here a while back, Denny spent several... Kids can be dismissed to children's church. But here a while back, my son Denny did a whole series, taught the whole book of Colossians on a Wednesday night, and did a fantastic job of it. Dug very deep into this book and brought a lot of good points out. Probably Colossians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I don't know why, it just is, and I enjoy it, and it has a lot of truth in it and things about living for God, and so it's probably one of my favorite books. This book speaks to the preeminence, has this twofold truth. Speaks to the preeminence of to Christ's preeminence and to the believer's completeness in Him. Our completeness in Christ. You're complete in Him. I think we forget that sometimes, but it affirms, this book will totally affirm Christ's deity, and contains one of the most exalted passages in the New Testament about His glory. And let's just read that for you and go to my text. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 15. I just want to read this to you. Chapter 1, verse 15. It's not what I'm going to preach about, but it's just, I want to read this to you. Chapter 1, verse 15 says this about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. We'll stop right there. And let's go to our text, chapter 3, verse 1. Did you hear what that said? Did I read something wrong? Everything good? My wife's not here to correct me. Martha's not up here to laugh at me, so I don't know where I'm at this morning. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you, were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here comes my support and my heckler. Glad they're back. Now we can get comfortable. Praise the Lord. I want to entitle this morning, if I can, Who Do You Love? It kind of sounds like a peculiar, strange title, but who do you love? Verse 1 says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Then verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. So let me ask you this, who do you love today? Who are you following? Who are you serving? Who are you looking up to as a Christian? Or as a Christian, are you setting your mind a little lower than what you're supposed to? Because the Word of God very plainly says, set your mind on things above, not things below. Right? Okay, you're going to have to help me a little bit here today. You can't just say, there's not as many people. You got to kind of get a little bit vocal once in a while. Okay? It's all right. I'll be okay if you do that. It says, verse 1, since you were raised with Christ. Actually means this. You were co-resurrected with Christ. You were co-resurrected with Christ. So how can that happen, Pastor? I'm still in my flesh, and I didn't die physically. You died spiritually when you became a Christian. You have co-resurrected with Christ. Because he lives, you live. Because he died spiritually, or he died physically, we die spiritually, and then we are joined together with him. We are resurrected with him. Newness of life. The old passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creation. Physically, you look the same. Physically, you talk the same. I mean, you should change some of the things you say. Surely you did when you got saved. Things change in your life. But spiritually, you were resurrected from this dead, lost person. You were raised up in newness of life. You were co-resurrected with Jesus. Do you understand? You're not the same person you used to be. You're different. Spiritually, you have changed. Physically, you may be just like you were. You go to the mirror and you look in the mirror and say, I don't see any difference. So what? It doesn't matter. It's what's happening on the inside. That's what matters. You were co-resurrected with him. You see, because of your union with Christ, believers spiritually entered his death and resurrection at the moment of your conversion. You hear what I'm saying? At the moment of your conversion, you were changed. You entered into death. Spiritually, you died, but you were resurrected in newness of life. A new person, a totally changed individual. All things become new. Wow, that ought to excite you today. I mean, seriously, your spirit man ought to be doing cartwheels right now, ought to be doing flips, ought to be, you know, pulling a Haley. Haley's my granddaughter, for you that don't know, and she's in gymnastics, and she can flip, and she can do all this stuff. Makes me hurt to watch her. I'm actually jealous. I couldn't do it when I was her. I couldn't ever do that stuff. When I was even a kid, I couldn't do it. But my point is, your spirit man ought to be so excited about thinking about who you are that it's doing cartwheels right now. It's jumping up and down with joy, saying, hey, hallelujah, I'm saved. You may not feel saved all the time. You may not lack saved all the time, but my goodness, my friends, let me tell you, when you were resurrected in newness of life with Christ, your spirit man is saved today. And it makes a difference in your whole entire life. Your physical being, your soul man, everything, your reasoning, your spirit man, everything changed when you got saved. You become a new person, a new creation in Christ. You were made alive in him as to understand spiritual truths, so you can understand realities of the Word of God and the blessings and the will of God in your life. You were made alive to understand all this stuff. You say, well, I don't understand the Word of God. You can understand the Word of God. You can understand the realities of Christ. You can understand the blessings and the will of God. It's all written down here in this Word. And when you became a Christian, he gave you spiritual eyes to begin to see and understand all that God has in store for you. This word is rich, so full of life and blessing. Why in the world do we want to live beneath our blessing, beneath what God has for us? So it goes on to say, and you are seated, it says we are seated at the right hand of God. It says, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated, sitting at the right hand of God. He is sitting at the right hand of God, seated there. He is in a seated position of honor and majesty. He is the exalted Son of God. He is the exalted. We just celebrated Easter where he died and he was raised and resurrected and made alive again, and he ascended into heaven after 40 days upon this earth. He ascended into heaven and is seated in heavenly places making intercession for you and I. He's there. He's the exalted Christ and he's your Lord. And he's made you new because of what he did. And when you accepted him as your Savior, you were raised up in newness of life, and you were, man, can you imagine what he's done for you? Maybe you can't imagine it. Maybe you just like to live in just this down in the dump attitude all the time. I don't like that. I want to understand who I am in Christ and know I have privileges and benefits in serving him. He blessings, make rich, and don't add sorrow. I'm glad for that. So this exaltation that he has makes him a fountain of blessing for his people. This is what he's done for us. He's a blesser. If you don't know Christ today, you don't know blessing at all. You don't know favor. I know favor today because I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. I walk in the favor and the blessing of God. Pastor, things never go wrong for you. I didn't say that. When they go wrong, I'm still walking in the blessing and the favor of God. God's still guiding my, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. My steps are still ordered of God. My name is still engraved in the palm of His hand. Regardless of what goes on around me, regardless of how this world is, seems to be going the wrong direction, regardless of what happens to me from the outside, inwardly, I am a new person and I am exalting. I exalt Christ through my life and I live for Him and I am blessed of Him and I am loved by Him because of my relationship with Him. I accepted Him as Lord and Savior of my life a long time ago. And, well, it's a good life, living for the Lord. And I'm like my mother in her favorite song there. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Nothing is worth turning back on Him for. Verse 2 tells us to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. This word mind, set your mind, it really means this, set your affection. Set your affection on things above. So that your mind is on things above. Your affections are on things above. You're seeking God first. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're looking to Him for the truth in your lives and your mind is set on those. The Greek word here means to think or to set your mind on or implying moral interest or reflection. So set all your interest is on God. Your interest is on Christ. Your interest is on things above, not on things on earth. And I know there's people who says this, and I've quoted this many, many times, and I'll do it again, I guess, just because of lack of anything else to say here. But there's people say, well, you can be so earthly or godly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't think you can ever be so godly minded that you're no earthly good. I understand that we move and live and have our being in Christ, but we're still on this earth. We're living here. We're rubbing shoulders with the world. We're a part of this world that we're living in. But I tell you, if I'm living righteous in this world and I'm holding a right standards of God, God's word, I understand that I can make a difference with people I meet, with my attitude and with the way I conduct myself. The Bible calls it holy conversation. In other words, the way you live, not just the way you talk, but the way you live and act around people will make a difference in their lives. Because I'm in Christ, I have to live a different way. I had some friends I read the other day over in Shawnee, and one of the brother Johnny, not Johnny Burns, but I can't remember his name, but his last name's Burns, and they were riding their motorcycles down Kickapoo or Harrison Street in Shawnee, and some man didn't like it, got behind him and started tailgating him, and all of a sudden I don't know exactly all the circumstances, but he whipped around him into the wrong lane of the four lane going up Harrison and whipped back in front of him and shut his car down in front of him and then jumped out and started threatening him. Well, 5 years ago, this is Ray's little brother. Can't remember his name. 5 years ago, Ray's little brother would have left some blood, that man's blood, on the concrete there on Harrison Street. But since he had gotten saved, they just smiled and thanked him for his concern, got back on their bikes and rode off. But a few years ago, he would have just, the old fashioned words, he cleaned his plow. But he didn't do it. Why is that? Because he's a new person in Christ. And Christ has made a difference in his attitude and his actions. Because of Jesus on the inside, it works to the outside, and he makes a new person out of your flesh man. He does. You're a new creation. It starts inside, works its way outward. If there's nothing in here, there's nothing to work out. But we're to set our affection, our mind, our interest, our moral interest, our reflection, our moral right conduct, our ethics, and we learn to discriminate between right and wrong because of what Christ is doing in our lives. Amen? Makes a difference. Christ is in our lives. He's changing us moment by moment. Say, Pastor, I don't think I'm where I need to be. Well, put your eyes right here. Look at this guy. I'm not where I need to be either. I haven't got there yet. I'm not in heaven. I'm still traveling this road just like you are. I'm still going from glory to glory and from trial to trial and temptation to temptation. We're walking the same road together. We're going to have these issues in our lives, but we just continue to live for God and become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We become overcomers and we just keep living for Jesus. Just keep doing it. Just keep moving forward. You'll be perfected one day. God sees you as perfect because of the blood of Jesus, but you have not totally perfected yet because you're still in this flesh body, this imperfect person that you dwell in. One day will be perfected. Aren't you glad? Are you ready for the change? Are you ready to go to heaven? Have it all come together like it's supposed to? It will one day. Soon, I'm sure. So setting your affection is to set your character. Set your qualities, your disposition, your nature, your spirit, your temper, your habits, your frame of mind, your mood, your sympathies. All these things, your heart, your inner man, the secret, most innermost parts of yourself. Set those things on Christ. That's simply what it says here. Set them on Christ. Set them on things above, not things on earth. See, the problem sometimes seems to be that instead of us setting our hearts and our minds on things above, we get caught up on with what's going on down here, and there's nothing wrong with a lot of our activities. Nothing wrong with some of the things we do. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we become so overcome by those things that that's all we think about, and we don't think about God, we don't think about the Word, we don't think about praying, we don't think about doing something for God. It's just about what I need to do here and what I'm going to do and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to enjoy, we miss the main point. So, Pastor, I mean, we can't do anything at all except go to church? I did not say that. How many of you, all you do is go to church? Come on, raise your hand. That's all you do, all your fun, all your pleasure. It's all wrapped around the church. Not a single one of you, right? Well, Brother Don, poor Brother Don has no outside interest other than the church. But for the most part, Brother Don, we have other interests. Some of you, you go to the picture show every once in a while. I hope you're watching right things. Many of you watch TV. I hope you're picking and choosing the right programs. Many of you ride horses and drive cars and ride motor scooters and or motorcycles and four-wheelers. And you have cattle and you have horses and you do all these things. There's nothing wrong with those things. It's part of living life. Part of being productive, part of having fun, enjoying what God's given you. He created this all. Why shouldn't we enjoy it? But when that becomes more important to us than God is, then we need to have a change of affection. You understand where I'm coming from? I'm not telling you not to do anything. I'm not telling you not to have any fun. I'm not telling you you can't enjoy life. God wants you to have fullness of life. He wants you to enjoy this life here. He wants you to enjoy the journey to heaven. Jesus laughed. Jesus had a good time. We always depict him, you know, sad or this or that. No, Jesus enjoyed living life. But he kept the main thing. And you and I must do the same thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All this will be added to what things? The full care and provision of God will be added to you. You mean I can have whatever I need that pertains to life and godliness? That's what the Word says. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, He has for you. Wow. I don't know if I can grasp that or not, Pastor. I don't know if I mean, it's just a balancing act. It's just accepting what God has for you and then living your life to the fullest. But your affection and your mind is on things above, not things on earth. Your goal is to satisfy God and live your life to the fullest, but your goal is to live for Him. It can be done. It can be done. It's being done by millions of people around the world. Every day of their lives, they are pleasing God and still living life to the fullest. Enjoying the journey. Sure, they have problems at times. Sure, they go through different things. But they know that God gives full care and provision will take care of them. You see why? Because our lives are hidden with Christ in heaven. We set our affection on things, our minds on things above. We let our attitudes be determined by things above. We let our attitude and our actions be determined by God. His word, His holiness, His righteousness should be ours. We should love what God loves, hate what God hates, and live for Him the best of our ability. You can do it. There's no doubt about it. But we must value, judge, and consider everything from a heavenly perspective. Probably even when you buy a car, you ought to say, Lord, which car should I buy? Do I do that all the time? Nope. I probably should. Really, you ought to be led of the Spirit of God in everything you do. If you'd really do that, practice that, you'd probably be a whole lot better off today. I know I would be. And I try. We all try to live for God. We all try to do best. But let our value, everything be considered from a heavenly perspective. Our goals, our pursuits, our ambitions should be to seek spiritual things. Folks, some of us are too busy living life that we're not seeking things above. We're not setting our affection on things above. We're so interested in what's going on here that we forget that there's a heavenly perspective on everything, and God has goals for you in your life. That lady spoke about it yesterday a little bit about, you know, God has something for, Melissa told you a while ago, God has something for each of you to do. All of you, no matter your age today, God has purpose for your life. So we need to do that. So we must put on, first we've got to resist sin and put on the character of Christ. Now I'm going to wind this down pretty quick, but it'll just take as long as it takes, okay? I don't know what else to say it. Just wake up and pay attention. We'll get over quicker. If I catch you sleeping, I may have to repeat a few things. Look at, if you want spiritual grace and you need spiritual power and you're looking for a spiritual experience and the blessings with Christ that are in heaven, well, let me tell you the people that's going to get that. Look at Matthew, chapter 7. Chapter 7 says this, in verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Pastor, I'm just not quite there. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock, or seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Why don't you have anything? I have an ask. Have you sought it? Have you knocked on His door? Say, Lord, I need what You have to offer me. Please, Lord, Your word says I can have it. Folks, we got to seek. If you seek, you'll find. If you ask, it'll be given. If you knock, it'll be opened. God's not going to withhold any good thing from His people. He will not hold anything spiritually good from you. He will not punish you by withholding what He has for you. That's not God's way. God has it for you. He wants you to desire it, to make yourself available for it. It's there. It's yours. It's available. You can have it. Reach out and grab it. God has a miracle for you. It's yours. Why are we not grasping what God has? I guess we need to stop playing man-made games. Go with me to Genesis for a minute. I want to show you just something here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 28. And it's a story of Jacob. How many know the story of Jacob? Isaac's son had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau, the oldest twin, Jacob the youngest, Esau a hunter, and Jacob just a mama's boy. Well, he was. But there's conflict in the family, and because Esau thought he was going to die from hunger one day, and Jacob fixed him some old red beans and rice, and didn't even put any smoked sausage in there or nothing, just red beans and rice or something like that, and fed him and said, well, here's you something to eat, but here's what I want from you. I want your birthright. I want to be first. So he sold his birthright, and then Jacob stole that birthright and tricked his dad into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. You know the story. Because of that, it caused great conflict between Jacob and Esau. And Esau desired, basically, to not just whoop up on his brother real good, but to kill him. So Jacob, knowing this, left and went to live with his mother's family, his uncle. While he's there, of course, you know, he married, he desired Rachel, thought she's very beautiful and wanted her as a wife, and his uncle Laban tricked him like he tricked his daddy and gave him Leah instead of Rachel. I believe that's the right name. And so he worked 7 years for her, and then turned around and had to work 7 years for the other one. But he got both wives. Well, everybody knows. Anyway, I can't imagine these people in these shows, five wives. That just don't work. But anyway, they had two wives, and probably added some more later. But anyway, had them two wives, and they didn't get along, and they were sisters. Come on, read the word. Read what it says. They didn't get along, and they were sisters. Because one was jealous of the other. One was jealous because one had all the kids, and the other was jealous because she had all the attention. Jacob loved Rachel more than he did Leah. A lot more. He loved her. He didn't care much for the other lady. The way it sounded. But the point is here. Jacob gets in trouble. Chapter 28, verse 20. I'll just give you, so that's where we're at. Chapter 28, verse 20. I'm going to go back to 10. I need to go back to 10. Just read this. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place. Now, he's left. He's left his home. He's took off. And he come to a certain place, stayed there all night because it was dark. The sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay it down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending. Here's this ladder reached up into heaven. Here's angels coming down and angels going up. Now, that's quite a dream, isn't it? Angels coming up and angels going down. Up, up, and down. However I got that right. And so here they are, ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac, the land of which you lie, on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Now here's this tricker, this deceiver. And he's had to leave his home, but God has a plan for his life. Now he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a conniver. He's a thief. And God says, I have purpose for you, Jacob. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you, if your thoughts would be on Christ, setting your affections on things above, that God could say, I have a plan for your life. Here's this man. He says, I have a plan. I have something for you to do. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to your descendants. They're going to be all over the place. I will be with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I know you're running right now, Jacob. I know there's problems in your life right now, but I will bring you back. Come on, church. You getting what I'm saying? Are you catching this today? He is telling us, no matter what your circumstances, no matter where you're at today, no matter what you're doing, if you'll set your affection on things above and not things on earth, God has plans for your life to give you increase, to give you blessing, to use you to build His kingdom. He wants to use you today. He said, I'll give it to all your descendants. I'm with you and I'll keep you. I will not leave you until I've done what I have spoken to you. How many of you, God's spoken to you? How many of you feel like God has spoken a word into your life and it doesn't seem like it's happening? But I want to tell you something today. If God spoke it, God will bring it to pass. If God said it, God will perform it, and He'll bring you to that place of blessing if you will remain faithful. And then he says, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord's been in this place, and I didn't know it, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early and took a stone that he put on his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. How many of you ever said that to the Lord? Lord, if you'll do this for me, then you'll be my God. I make a vow to you, Lord. I'm going to do this, and if you'll do this for me, you'll be my God. I've done that before. I laid up in an old truck cab one night and said, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll serve you. I was already serving him, but I said, Lord, I'll go preach. I'll go do what you've called me to do. And the Lord said, okay, it's done. And he did it. He didn't go back on his word. I did for about a couple of years. I said that night, I said, Lord, I got to have a good week. My family's we're about to go under, and I've not made any money in weeks. And God gave me a week that week. I made over $5,000 in 1 week clear. Cleared that on that truck that week. I worked in 7 days. I made over $5,000. I thought, okay, this is too good to quit. Because I told him, Lord, I'll sell out and I'll quit and I'll go preach if you'll just let me have a good week and catch back up so my family can live. And I said, it's too good. So it took me another 2 more years to get my head on straight after vowing a vow to God. And God got my attention. You know what he did after that? He gave me and my wife both real good jobs. And within just a few years, we'd paid off all that extra debt we'd accumulated because I lied to God. You know what God did? Said, I didn't forget what I told you. I didn't forget my vow to you. And he took care of us through all that time. He taught us some lessons, but he took care of us all the way through it. Folks, I don't suggest you go back on what you tell God. It will cost you. It'll cost you. But God will still bless you when you come back around. When you sell back out to him, he'll do it. We never walked away from God. We just got in a position that we forgot what we told him. And I had two or three miserable years after that. Financially, miserable. Spiritually, miserable. 5 years, wasn't it? 5 years after that. 5 miserable years. But the whole time God was leading us towards this church. The whole time he was leading us here. Because he didn't forget what he said. When I come to my, so Jacob had all this, look at chapter 31. Chapter 31 verse 13, I gotta hurry. Chapter 31 verse 13. Now Jacob's been in his uncle Laban's house for several years now, at least 14 years, maybe more. He's accumulated great wealth. God has really blessed him. Every time he turned around, Jacob was being blessed and Laban, his uncle, was being mad. Said, what's the deal here? You're getting wealthy on me. He's angry at him. Finally, Jacob said, I gotta go. I gotta go back home. God has told me he'd take me back. I'm going back home. And so here we are in verse 13. It says this. Verse 13. And this is Jacob now. He's talking. He's listening. And verse 11 says, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream and said, Jacob. And I said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes now. See all the rams which leap on the flocks. Which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Do you hear that? God didn't forget what he said. Jacob, I'm going to bless you. If you'll set your mind on things above and serve me and seek me, I'm going to do what I said I would do. Now he says, you've done it. It's time for you to go home. It's time for you to receive the blessing. It's time for you to go back and be into the land I said I would give to you. What'd Jacob do? He gathered up his family. He told his wives, hey, we're going back home. We're going back to my family. And they packed up. They gathered their flocks. He got all of his servants, and they headed home. headed back towards Bethel, headed back to Canaan land, headed home. And here they are, chapter 32, verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them, set them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no more longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And Jacob said, "Tell me your name." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. What are you getting at, Pastor? It's just this right here. Jacob had some issues, and Jacob had some problems, but Jacob was anointed of God, and God had a plan for Jacob's life, just like he has a plan for your lives today. And if you'll seek the Lord's face and you'll wrestle with God until you, God touches you in such a way, even if you have to come away with a limp and you begin to have to drag a leg, it just whatever it takes, you know, you begin to walk like Chester on Matt Dillon's show. If whatever it takes to get the blessing of God, you ask, you seek, you knock until God says, "If you just let me go for just a second, I'll get the anointing oil and I'll pour it upon your head, and everything I promised to you will come to pass." But church, it's going to take you and I wrestling with God, going to our prayer closets, reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God, believing the Word of God, taking hold of the horns of the altar of God and saying, "God, I will not let you go until you bless me." But you got to have to want it. Jacob wanted the blessing. He wanted the favor of God. He wanted to make sure that when he took his family back to meet his brother Esau, that everything was going to be all right. Although he had that assurance, if you'll read on further, you'll find out that he was still a little bit concerned about Esau, but God had changed the heart of his brother. And when his brother saw him, it says his brother just fell upon him, and they begin to hug and weep and love on one another because God was in the middle of the situation. And he'll be in your situation too if you'll just let him. You can have it, but you got to reach out for it. Got to ask, seek, and knock. Who do you love today? Who do you really love? We've got to stop playing games. We've got to seek the presence of God, not just the hand of God. We've got to seek the face of God, the power of God, not just His blessing, but we need to seek the power of Almighty God in our lives. We need to be like Jacob and crucify our flesh, lay aside our wants and our needs, and say, "Not my will, but Thy will be done, Lord. No longer my agenda, no longer my career, but God, what is it You want me to do? God, where can I serve? God, where can I go? God, what is it I can do?" Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be afraid that He may call you to preach or call you to pastor. He's probably not going to call most of you to go pastor. He probably won't call just a very few of you to preach, but He's going to call and ask all of you to do something for the kingdom. But you got to make yourself available. You have to make yourself available. Our programs must die for His program to live. Our agenda has to be laid aside so that His agenda can be pushed forward. We must become like Jacob, wrestle with the Lord until we die in the flesh, until the Lord God touches us with a supernatural touch that brings a true change to our flesh, until we are truly touched by Him, even if we have to go home with a limp. Change my heart, O God. Change my path, I pray. Touch me with thy rod, so I will go thy way. Would you stand with me? Who do you love today? Some more scripture that we could have put. You might write it down and read it later. Romans, the 6th chapter. The 1st verse through the 11th verse. I may just read it to you right quick. Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. There it is. The Word of God says, what? Shall we sin? It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I won't read the rest of it. Change my heart, God. Change my heart. Anybody here ready for a change? Who's ready for a change of heart? You're just happy where you are. If you need a change of heart, you desire more from God today, why don't you just come and bow your heart, bow your knee, bow your heart to the Lord today. Begin to crucify your flesh in the affections and the lust of your flesh, and begin to seek God for more. Begin to draw near to Him. His Word very plainly says if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. We are new creations in Him today. We've been raised. We're to set our affection, our mind on things above, not on things on earth. We need to keep the main thing, ladies and gentlemen, the main thing. And Jesus is the main thing. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Knock. Seek. Ask and knock. It'll be given. Come on. Don't let flesh destroy your destiny. Don't let flesh hold you back from what God has for you to do in His kingdom. Don't let your flesh steal your blessings. Don't let it stop you, church. Draw near to Him today. Draw near to Him. Father, today, bless. Move and minister to these precious saints of God. Move and minister life today, Father. Encourage our hearts. Draw us near.
clay. So mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be more like you. His feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. More I see. The more I find him, the more I find him, the more I love him. I want to sit at his feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him. His feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. The more I find him, the more I find him, the more I love him. I want to sit at his feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him. The more I love him. drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him. I want to sit at his feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him. Sit at his feet, drink from the cup in his hands, lay back against him and breathe and feel his heartbeat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace, it's
hallelujah. Come on, just raise your hands and tell the Lord you love him today. Bless the Lord. No matter how you feel, just bless the Lord right now. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, my circumstances may not be lining up with what's going on inside of me, but I thank you that I've been raised up in newness of life, that I am yours today. I bless you and praise you and honor you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. It's more than I can stand. I melt in his peace. It's overwhelming. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we hope and trust that everything we preached today was a benefit to you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. I helped you understand a little bit of where you're at with him, but I asked you again as we're dismissed, who do you love? Yeah, amen. Who's the main thing? He's the main thing today. And if you'll serve him, I'm going to guarantee you. I can guarantee you because of what I know about God. The other circumstances and situations in your life and your relationships will just get better and better as you seek God and put him first. It's the way it works. But Christ is the center of your life, and things will begin. And I know you may have some problems in the road. I understand. I'm not naive. I know that not everything's right all the time. It's just not. If you're expecting that, you might as well. You're going to be disappointed. But God's good all the time. And he wants to bless you and lead you and guide you and give you a good life. He really does. But he wants you to seek him first. Seek first God and his kingdom. Amen. Well, Father, we bless you again and thank you for your word and thank you for this church. We thank you, God, for all you're doing. Lord, you're not disappointing us, Lord. You're moving and you're just doing so many things, Lord. You're working situations out in many lives. Some of them, Lord, they can't quite see it yet. But God, I know that you are on the job. You're not sleeping. You're not slumbering. You're watching over us every moment of the day. And Lord, you are beginning to work some things out that looks like they would never be worked out. And even right now, Lord, there's some of these things we can't see what the end of it is. We don't know where it's going to end. We don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, today we declare victory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm calling some things that are not as though they were. I'm saying by faith. I'm calling it by faith that lives are going to be restored. The suicidal thoughts will be diminished. The homes are going to be restored. Jobs are going to be secure. Relationships mended between moms and dads and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.